Yeah, man, the Seven Wonders of Casper. I'm one of the Seven Wonders of Casper. My family's out exploring the Seven Wonders of Casper while I talk on to the fiends.
Oh, that's really what they're doing? I thought you were joking.
No. Well, no, they're not. They're out having lunch and picking DJ's daughter up at the airport and doing some other stuff.
Well, there's only six now because I moved.
Yeah, you were one of the Yeah, that's true. Well, they replaced you with me. They had there was a period where I was there and you were there. It was my trial period to replace you as one of the Seven Wonders of Casper.
Okay. I was grooming you to be my successor.
Grooming me.
A successor to the professor?
Yeah.
Yes. So you decided to start the recording
this is the
early.
We still got review.
1 minute till Aaron puts us up and we'll be fiending live after that.
Yes. Excellent.
Excellent.
So I watched that movie Basquiat today.
Basquiat.
It's really good. David Bowie playing Andy Warhol is priceless. Among other things. It's got good things besides
that. Is it an older movie?
Yeah, it's like, 1998, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about Basquiat except for Jay-Z's always bragging about how he has Basquiat's on his wall.
Oh, that's how quite rich impressive. He is. I've only been to someone's house who has a painting on their wall that was used in the movie Basquiat as a Basquiat, but isn't. The guy I interviewed but they're by someone cool who was a friend of Basquiat's. I forget who, but not as famous. But yeah,
somebody from the same kind of clique.
Yeah, the guy who wrote the screenplay for Last Exit to Brooklyn. When I was at his house interviewing, I was like, "That painting's really cool. What's the story with that?" And he's like, "Oh, that's by blah blah blah. It was used as a Basquiat in the movie Basquiat." I'm like, oh.
Yeah, and we're on live now. If you're just joining us, this is Freedom Fiends Live. We were talking about Basquiat, famous, I don't know, what would you consider his art? Postmodern, something like that? Painter from Brooklyn.
Graffiti, street art. But nah, he was more of a graffiti artist. I mean, he did graffiti, but he was just kind of constantly doing art.
Street-inspired fine art.
Yeah.
Something.
He was weird though. He was like a homeless guy that like came from a middle class family, kind of like
factory.
Me. You know, yeah, middle class family factory.
And he didn't want to sell out, so he was homeless, and then he got really famous because of his art.
Yeah, and because he was Andy Warhol's buddy.
That's why you like it so much.
Well, you know, weird stuff. Weird stuff happens, and I want to know about it. I saw the movie when it came out in the theaters in like '98, but I had to revisit it.
Okay. Sweet. You saw it on Netflix, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this week I'm finally going to get my Netflix subscription so I can actually provide something other than, nope, never seen it.
It's about friggin' time, man. I saw three other movies last night on Netflix that I'm not even going to bring up because we're already reviewing a movie that we haven't both seen. So
yeah. Well, I still think it'd be a good idea for us to it was your idea originally to do libertarian
movie
reviews. I'm thinking that's a great way to build the fiends and to build the liberty movement in general, because we could not only do movies, but we could do like product reviews or just reviews of things in general. And that way when people search for that, they'd get a little liberty perspective when they're reading about things.
Yeah. I'm trying to move us away from advertising based and more towards donation based. We actually got some nice donations this week. We got one from your buddy Kevin, that you the Win a Date with a Fiend guy, your friend.
Oh yeah, great guy.
He gave us $20. A couple other people gave like $5 or started a $5 a month donation. They didn't tell me whether they could use their name or not, but
sweet.
So we're trying to move more towards that. So you're gonna hear like little begging ads that I made. Did you hear the ad?
Yeah, I did hear the ad. It was a funny ad.
Yeah.
The fiends, we work hard, so pay us money.
Yeah.
Nice little tagline there. I was listening to the Scott Horton show the other day, which is pretty much just like it always was.
I would imagine.
It's even still on the antiwar.com page. Last time I checked.
Good.
On the right, instead of saying antiwar.com, it just says Scott Horton Radio. So basically, it just seems like they stopped paying him, but everything else is still the same. And he was talking about what he's going to do to make money. And so he was sort of going through some ideas. And the idea that he was thinking might be beneficial is kind of what Free Talk Live does, you know, where you have subscribers. And he's like, I don't know, some people say I should give them something extra, but Scott was like, I just feel like I want to give everybody everything I do anyway.
That's how I feel too. And someone today was saying that we should do a we should do a like lower encoded audio version for people that
I think I was talking to the same guy on Facebook. He was saying, well, you basically you give somebody less, but you give it to them more. Give them a lower encode of the stream so that they could listen to it better on their chromed robot turret.
And I pointed him to the streaming server. I told him we're on Stitcher. I told him the same things I tell everybody. I need to start a cut and paste for that because it comes up, well, maybe often enough that we should do it, but not really. It's come up like 4 times, but people are adamant about it. And I'm kind of like, no, man, we do so much already. Somebody else can do that. And it's like part of it is just I do not like the sound of things that are of MP3s that are less than 128K. And I couldn't like – it'd be kind of like, you know, your child is too attractive for our school. You're going to have to go out and punch him in the face till he has black and blue marks, and then we'll let him in the school. It's kind of like I can't do that to our baby, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I guess I can kind of see where they're coming from if they're mostly listening on a mobile device and want Fiends Now. You know,
he was saying
you lose quality, but you get the quickness.
You know, he was saying he'd be willing to, like, you know, do a subscribe thing. And I just jumped through I was like, I just told him all my reasons and said no. You know, he said you should have a paid feed for that, you know, and I'm like, I just can't. And I was thinking, but didn't really say, I was thinking what you said, like, I, you know, what Scott said, like, I want to just give everybody everything. And the end of it, he said, well, when I get paid, I'm going to start doing a subscription free for you guys, you know, fee, like for you guys anyway. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I mean, good. Thank you. I'm high on TCPIP.
TCPIP. What's that? Sounds like some
internet protocol. Thing. Yeah, just internet protocol. Like the idea of it. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Yep.
But, so you've been watching the Olympics?
I watched some with my in-laws yesterday and my wife. First time I watched any Olympics in like 20 years. It's hard as an anarchist because it's like, you know, it's like going to a July 4th picnic with like every country in the world, you know?
Yeah, I was some of my family. We were at the Texas coast with like all of my wife's extended family, and some of them are very traditional, patriotic kind of red statists. But they get almost teary eyed. Like they were watching after we got home from the bar. Like there was the opening ceremonies, and I was just like ripping on it, like because they're like touching torches to each other. Making gay jokes about touch my torch to your torch and stuff like that. And they were getting kind of upset, and I was like. Going on about how, you know, this is freaking communist London. You guys, you're not upset by that? You can't rip on London for being completely statist and
well, it was really socialist, and it was weird because, like, the Chinese one was really communist, you know? I mean, like, one thing I noticed was in the Chinese one, they rarely even did a close-up of a person's face, or often their faces were covered by costumes or boxes or something, and the British one was all about, like, the struggle through the ages of the worker to bring, you know, like basically you didn't do that. The government did it, but you kind of helped. Mm. So we'll celebrate you and then have James Bond parachute in with the Queen in his satchel or whatever the fuck they did. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I have not paid much attention to it. But I did read this great article by a guy named John Whitehead on Lou Rockwell, sort of detailing all the police statism. You know, some people say, you know, that's one thing that their mascot, or at least one of the Olympic mascots this year, is called Wenlock, and it's like this creepy blob with an eye, like instead of a face, it's just one big eyeball. And some of the souvenirs they're selling are that Wenlock character in like a police uniform, and it's not just this guy that's been ripping on it. I mean, Slate's ripped on it. I think Slate. Other people in the blogosphere have also ripped on it for just being kind of creepy and all seeing. But it's worse than that. Like, there's also, they have a freaking aircraft carrier in the Thames River. A freaking aircraft carrier. And there was a local news report, I think, from England of a guy showing off their missile skills. Like, it was, there's surface-to-air missiles in certain locations.
God, I'm looking
London
at this Wenlock thing. I didn't notice it in the bit of TV I saw. It's an eyeball. It's a friendly eyeball. It's like, hi, kids. Yeah. I'm the guy that watches you 24/7.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And they have it in a cop uniform, too. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also horrible examples of IP gone wrong in this. Like, there's official Olympic sponsors for the London Games, like McDonald's, Adidas, Coke, all the usual suspects. And to protect their investment, there are certain people that go around. They're government goons. I guess they wear purple caps. And people around London aren't allowed to use such words in their promotional things, like for your restaurant or whatever. They're not allowed to use words that include games. 2012, gold, silver, bronze.
2012?
Summer. Yeah, they can't say 2012. they can't even say London. So I mean, what do you do if your name is London Classic Fish and Chips? I mean, and people have actually gotten in trouble for this. Like there was a bagel shop. Oh, you can't do the rings, you know, the Olympic rings, the five rings.
Someone did a bagel, five
bagels. A bagel shop was like five bagels together in their display, and they got fined for it. Or at least, wow. I don't know if they got fined, but they at least got asked to take the display apart.
Wow.
Yeah, so status London, man. It's really upsetting. And you know, I was listening to who is it? Ernie Hancock a few months back, sort of going on about, you know, the Olympics is kind of an amazing thing for watching people push the limits. You know, mankind push the limits of human achievement. And a lot of it's individual achievement, you know, like the racing events, swimming events, a lot of those are individual events. You know, weightlifting, the boxing, the wrestling, just one person being as amazing as they can. And yet they always have to be tied to a state, you know. They are more than just themselves, but they also have to claim their
And why doesn't
identity.
Sealand have an Olympic team?
They don't have enough money to pay off the Olympic committee.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we got more on that. I think we have to stop for a little bit, and we'll pick that right back up, okay?
Yeah.
If I use
Wenlock
podcast, and
for
I'm
the picture for this cast, do you think we'll get in trouble?
No, that would totally be fair use even in the status system, because we're talking about it, you know, for news purposes.
We'll see. I mean, the thing about a web page is it's pretty easy to honor a cease and desist.
Yeah, you would just have to edit.
And normally I'd say let's fight it, but that's like primarily the thing that I think they put in things like the CISPA for, or tried to, you know, like they might use that as a test case of they're interfering with international commerce.
Yeah.
And then make the site not work or something.
Sales of our Wenlock police dolls might go down. We must put a stop to this.
I don't know, though. There should be I should put the drugs are bad behind the Wenlock. There we go.
Drugs are bad. I'm clean.
I'll steal some money from the fiends and do the photoshopping of that while we're talking.
Yeah, yeah. Yo.
Drugs are bad. Actually, it'll be pretty easy to do. It's funny. All right, let me stop.
Hi, I'm Nima Vidotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths at Vaporsmiths.com. Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. We fight ignorance with information. We don't have all of the answers, but we put all of our proceeds into finding them. If this requires sequencing the genomes of a forbidden plant, we've done it. If it requires leaving the country for the free pursuit of science, we've done that as well. The Janome Project is an ongoing crowdsourced experiment in free pursuit of the truth on cannabinoid sciences. Join us and participate in studying Mary Jane's genome. Get the app by searching Jane-Ome on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ome.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
You like my Wenlock is watching you, MK graphic? You know?
Yeah, that's pretty good. You can use that as the fiend image at the top of the show.
Ah.
Yeah. The name of this cast, interestingly enough, is the longer pot's illegal, the more anarchists there will be.
Ah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, it almost reminds me of Ben Stone's sort of explanation that one of the things that really brings or increases libertarians and anarchists is when the state gets really bad. I think he makes the analogy that you don't really notice the lack of air until you can't. I mean, you don't really notice that you're breathing air or how much you need air until there's a lack of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben and I are. I'm going to have Ben back for a Anarchy Gumbo. He was the first Anarchy Gumbo guest, and I'm having him back coming up soon, and we've actually already mapped the whole thing out. It was kind of like we had this like 45 minute conversation on the phone. I was like, we should have been recording this, and I took some notes and we decided to redo it, you know, because we weren't recording.
Nice.
And it may piss a lot of people off, not in a pod beef way, but it's gonna be called Liberty in Our Lifetime ? Which is not making fun of the Free State Project in any way. It's just basically like, he and I don't think there are going to be liberty in our lifetime. And
why not?
We're going to explain why. We're going to explain why. Tune in for something that hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. I tend to...
We think it will come. Okay. Here's the thing to make everyone not worry so much. But, you know, we think it will come and it'll be in about 100 years. So stick around.
100 years.
You could be alive. You could be alive.
I could still be alive. People could live to 120 by then.
It ain't going to be in me and Ben's lifetime. We're old.
Not that old. I don't know. I feel like, okay, even if it's not in my lifetime, if I could still see that it's on its way, then maybe I could die a little bit happier than, I don't know, if I died now.
Well, yeah. Maybe. I mean, yeah. Or if you have kids and, you know, you could do it for your kids. I don't have kids. Ben's going to be a grandfather soon. And, you know, he thinks he'll be in his unborn grandchild's life. I mean, he and I just, you know, he's not going to live that long because, you know, he's a collector for loan sharks. And, you know, if you're out busting heads all day, eventually you're going to get killed. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess nobody can really predict, but I mean, I feel like.
He's not really, he doesn't really do that anymore.
I know. I know.
Do you think that's an ethical job?
Being a loan shark?
Well, no, being a collector for loan shark.
I think we've discussed this before. I mean, I guess if...
Because it's kind of entering into a contract to have your knees broken. It's an unspoken, you know, or a handshake like, yeah, you know you're going to get your knees broken if you welch on this.
Well, I think it needs to be spoken for it to be ethical, doesn't it?
In the movies, they pretty much always speak it. We're going to break your kneecaps if you don't do this. Okay.
If they speak it, yeah. I mean, I suppose it's ethical. If somebody says, okay, well, you voluntarily agree to take the money, and they say, we will break your legs if you don't pay this back to us in a month.
I mean, with most...
You made your bed.
You know, most bank contracts, you're agreeing to go to jail, you know, if you don't honor them. And, tacitly, that includes getting butt raped, so...
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, all contracts have penalties. And I mean, I guess where it could be unethical is if you do it under duress, things like that. I mean, there are things that can nullify contracts. You know, if somebody points a gun to your head and says you need this money, you got to take this money, then obviously it's not going to be ethical. It'll be under duress that you made the agreement. But if everything's done according to your free will, I mean, and you agree to the consequences, then by all means, make sure they get their money back.
So you were talking about how Ben and I are a bunch of cranky old dudes who don't know what's right. What do you think?
I don't think so. I mean, I like to fantasize about liberty in my lifetime. I don't know if it'll actually happen. I don't think anybody can really know. Yeah, in a way. But, I mean, and the other thing is, I'm kind of biased in a way because a lot of the people I deal with and talk to
are young and naive and believe things.
They're also young, idealistic anarchists. Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, there can be vast changes in society in shorter periods. I mean, sometimes things aren't gradual. I don't think anybody. I don't think the whole world's educated enough. Like if all governments crapped out and dissolved now, I don't think enough people know what the non-aggression principle is, and I don't think enough people know principled anarchy to really for us to have a free society. If the governments just went away, if the bad guy went away, I don't think that means we have liberty yet. I mean, I guess this is a question that you can't really answer with any kind of degree of time accuracy. But I guess it's promising that you guys think liberty will come eventually.
Why you know what is that? You know what I want to mention in passing that's related? That I want to mention in passing and then try not to talk about because it's really disgusting me is they're making a play for guns right now. And this UN thing is going through pretty soon and this UN treaty is going to be signed by the president. And before the shootings, the possible false flag shootings in Colorado, there were about two senators away from ratifying this thing, and that may have changed now. So,
I mean, and Obama's talking about revisiting gun control in that YouTube video that you can check out, and you sent me the link to it. He makes some silly comment about how, there's a great tradition of guns in America, and I'm not trying to step on that, but I think we can all agree. I think most gun owners would agree that only soldiers should have AK-47s.
Oh, I did want to talk about that. First of all, you know, it's completely horrible, and it's him telling people what to think, and I don't think that's true that a majority of Americans believe that.
No.
The second thing is interesting choice of, I mean, I think this is kind of his shoulder thing that goes up moment saying AK-47s, and not many people caught it, but it's like American soldiers don't use AK-47s, man. If you equate an AK-47 with military firearm, you're a communist. But you know, I'm not calling him a communist. I'm just saying he doesn't know anything about guns. But AK-47s are what the people who shoot at American soldiers use. So, you know, I guess he's saying only the people that murder your sons should have AK-47s. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that was his intention. I think he's just an idiot. But
said that whole rant, and then like a soldier I know took me to task and said, well, there is this one elite division of American soldier that occasionally uses an AK-47, but not the, you know, normal Joe on the ground. And I'm like, yeah, that's not what Obama was talking about.
No. He was, you could tell if you continue to watch it, he's basically saying, okay, if you have some kind of shooting hobby or hunting hobby, then I'm not trying to step on your toes, but I want to regulate which guns you can have is the gist of it, which I take more offense at than his gaffe about the AK-47. I've always taken offense, and there are people, even my age people, who for some reason just that seems like a great idea to them. Like, yeah. How come only cops should have guns like that? Well, why would you ever need a gun like that?
The sporting purpose doctrine is something from Nazi Germany, literally. Like, that was the original gun control against the Jews. And, you know, he says, yeah, you'll be able to have your guns to hunt in a highly regulated way, you know, until Cass Sunstein is on the Supreme Court, and then we'll take that away, too.
Yeah, God forbid. All right. Well, we got more Obama bashing and gun glorifying coming up. Just don't change that browser. Keep listening to Freedom Fiends Live.
Worms. Worms.
Worms. Nematodes. Worms. Tired of the false economy. Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't tread on.
Tired of the economy. Want to carry real guns that the president would hate?
Collect all four.
The new AK-47 is finally available.
Freedom Fiend Silver. And as a Republican coroner or a Democratic coroner,
I will not be autopsied by a Democrat. Put it in your will.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, here in Casper, they don't really have much of a lab either. If you die and they have big questions, like, and it's not a federal
They
got
to send you down to Colorado.
I thought it was Nebraska, but yeah.
Well, I guess whichever place isn't backed up enough. When I was in Wyoming, it would usually be they'd ship you off to Colorado. I think they they had tried for a little bit, I remember doing the story, to hire their own person to do autopsies, but there wasn't enough of a demand for it, which I guess is a good thing that you don't have enough of a demand for autopsies in your
locale. I will not be autopsied by a Democrat.
But I mean, in a thing like that, you'd feel like the family should be able to request an autopsy, which they, I don't know if they Republican. Can or not. I guess it would depend on the situation.
For it. They pay for it. If there's no like state demand for an autopsy, a family can certainly have an autopsy. They just have to find, you know, they have to pay for it.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean,
But someone's will can also say they do not want an autopsy. You know, people who have religious objections being cut over open or just don't want to be monkeyed with by played with. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really want to be monkeyed with when I die. I mean, I don't even know if I want them to, you know, do an undertaking or whatever where they inject formaldehyde into you and put makeup on you and all that.
Well,
stuff.
DJ and I have wills, and part of what it says in the will is there's an attachment about burial, and it says we both want to be cremated. And, you know, each other gets the ashes, and in the event of us both dying together, her kids do. But we're really specific about that, and that we do not want a funeral. I mean, we couldn't stop someone from having a funeral, but we don't want to like put the other person through a funeral with everyone that would want to show up at a funeral, family, friends, well wishers, etc. You know, and have to like,
you don't want to impose.
Really. It's like, you know, if I die, I don't want her to have to immediately plan a party for me, you know, which basically is what it is. It's like planning a wedding. It's, you know, you have to get people from out of state. You have to deal with putting them up. You have to deal with plane tickets. You have to deal with finding a place to do it. No. I want her to put my ashes in a box. And I've specified that I want some of mine to be shot out of shotgun shell. You know, just putting some. And you are the alternate for that.
Okay. Who's your first?
You have a copy of my will. I don't know if you ever read it. But no, DJ's my first and you're my second.
Ah, that's right. I remember.
Yeah.
I definitely do not want to be cremated. I kind of feel like, you know, I'm pretty much an agnostic. Like, I've dabbled in Christianity and different things, but I guess now I'm really not sure about anything. So I don't want to risk.
You really don't want to be what?
I really do not want to be cremated. I don't want to risk just in case there's something in your physical body that has some tie to the mystic realm, whatever, if there is one. I don't want to be cremated. I either want to go back to the earth or I want to be shot onto one of Jupiter's moons like Io or something.
See, I can't see that as having any relevance. Is that like Muslim beliefs? I know because you have to put in the ground.
If it is, that's not how I came to it.
I mean, you know, what kind of just God would say you don't get into heaven if you're killed in an IED or if you're, you know, sucked apart by a tornado or, you know, the CERN super collider?
What if it's not a God?
Just physics? You're worried about physics of it?
What if wherever our autonomy is some particle in us that gets supplanted into
My deism says that I am as certain as anything that if there's an afterlife, it doesn't matter what state your body's in, whether you get there or not.
Okay.
I can promise you that, Nima, in writing. If you like.
You can promise me that. Okay. Yes. Fair. Yes. You can promise me that that's your belief.
No, I'm sure of it. I'm absolutely sure of it. It's not even faith. It's like my religion's really weird. I don't want to go into it. Well, I want to talk about Adam Koresh and why I don't like him.
Adam Koresh. Oh, that's a Freudian slip.
Kokesh. Sorry. Yes. I'm not having him droned.
What do you want to mention about the guy that takes on the man?
Yeah. He's a frat boy. He's the frat boy of liberty, man. He did this a lot of things I've had trouble with him about, but he did this thing recently called Can I Be a Libertarian Dominatrix, where somebody wrote to him and basically said, is my sex life libertarian enough? Tell me, oh great one.
Why would you do that, first of all? But
why would you do that to anybody, let alone Adam? But man.
Well,
I don't want to talk about it.
We'll hold off on that. Come back and see us. We've got plenty more Fiends Live coming at you.
Yeah, or we could just talk about the break and be done with it.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one.
If you want to put your voluntarious money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Are you on any medication?
Here, now I'm recording. So, yeah, I was talking about Adam, and, you know, it's kind of a lame pod beef. It's more like just, you know, the same pod beef I had with Stefan Molyneux of someone who doesn't know anything about BDSM talking about it as if they have a reason to have an opinion. And,
well, with Molyneux, it wasn't a pod beef. It was a discussion because
And I fixed him, man. I changed his mind. And he later on another cast, on another interview with someone else, like totally had a changed mind about it. Yeah. But, yeah.
So you're not beefing with Adam Kokesh. You just...
I'm beefing with ignorance about BDSM. His answer was like, you know, first of all, like, who the hell would ask someone, is it okay if I'm a libertarian and I'm into kink? Especially a dominatrix asking a man. Like, you know, any dominatrix I know would be like, I'm not going to ask some man to tell me if I'm right or not. You know, it kind of goes along with being a dominatrix.
Yeah.
But second of all, you know, his answer was, first of all, it was kind of like, yeah, you said he sounded kind of like, well, yeah, but it kind of implies there's something mentally wrong with you, which is I hate, and it's bullshit, and it happens all the time.
Well, you make a good comparison to the stigma that surrounds BDSM to the stigma guns. That surrounded homosexuality. Well, no, yeah. I like the homosexuality one. You were basically saying that, you know, saying that, well, if you're into BDSM and you're into dominance, then you could have something wrong with you. Just please don't take it too far and act like the state and impose your will on others where it's not voluntary, which for you is kind of like somebody saying, oh, well, it's okay to be gay. Just don't go molesting kids because we know you might do that.
It's a straw man. It's taking the, like, 1% of the 1% of the 1% of what people do with it and just immediately saying, well, I have to warn you not to do what a tiny, tiny, tiny minority of people do with it. And I would say there's a lot more. I don't have any statistics back this up, but my feeling is outside of San Francisco, there are a lot more sociopathic people acting like the state who are straight than gay. San Francisco has a lot of sociopathic politicians, and a lot of them are gay. I don't know. Well, it's just been my experience.
Is it the same kind of essence with sort of the title of this cast, that the longer pot is illegal, the more anarchist we'll have, since gay people are an attacked class, and that's an attacked activity at times?
I mean, another homosexuality reference that I like to use is something I came up with, which is saying that BDSM now is societally where homosexuality was in the 50s.
Right.
Except that it's not illegal for the most part. Although it is in certain types of it are illegal in England still, which is weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
Anything that leaves even temporary marks, if it's consensual, you know, like if you're
so like whip,
if you're
with the whip and the cat of nine tails and all that kind of stuff.
Or, you know, even like a belt or whatever, you know, or gently scratching someone with a fork or something if they like that on their ass, whatever.
It's probably like that still in England because they really hold tight to that monopoly of violence.
They own you too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yeah. You can't hurt the king's chattel.
The king's livestock. You must not do that. Or the queen's, I guess.
Yeah.
There's not a king right now.
They passed a law in Wyoming recently to make it illegal to choke your wife, which is a total, like, you know,
we need another law for that?
Yeah. It's like, isn't that covered by a bunch of other laws? But there's nothing in it about what if it's consensual, you know? So let's say the cops were peering through your window and you were having hot sex, choke fuck sex, you know, totally consensual. They could come in and arrest you now in Wyoming for that.
Not the cops, but a Wenlock doll.
A Wenlock doll would just drop out of your ceiling and arrest you and then send you a bill.
See, they have actual cameras in that eye.
That
for
thing
the dolls
is Big Brother. It's like the cute Big Brother doll. It is. They have cameras for them?
No, I'm joking. Wouldn't it be funny if all little souvenirs they sold actually were cameras tied to the central scrutinizer in England?
Yeah. And I'll bet all of the all the counterfeit ones, the ones that are like, you know, they're trying to crack down on that people sell a lot of them. I'll bet they're all made in China, which means China will win this year's Olympics in a way too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird that they pick that as the mascot because I I feel like almost
so
like
back
it's
to
a joke.
Adam Kokesh.
Like somebody could joke and make that the mascot.
Back to Adam Koresh.
Oh, okay. There you go again. I thought you were done with the beef. I thought the beef Kokesh. Was in the Tupperware and you put it in the fridge.
I just want a big strong man to come over and beat me. I'm kidding. So I sent him an email with the subject line. People into kink, or people who aren't into kink talking about kink, always reminds me of people who don't own guns talking about guns. And
you mean like every journalist on national TV?
Yeah. And you know, he never wrote back, which it's their right not to, but he has an auto reply. I got an auto reply email that said, I don't get a chance to respond to every email that I get, but I do try to read them all and at least skim them daily. Please know that I am doing the best to hear my audience and appreciate all the feedback. In liberty, Adam. What a politician type thing to do, man.
Well, he's practicing for when he gets elected to Congress.
Anarchy president.
Anarchy president.
Yeah.
Well, is he still running for Congress? I mean, I haven't been following him.
No, that was
him,
like
but
10 years ago, wasn't it? Or 8 years ago?
Well, on the video, which I'm assuming is recent, was this BDSM video recent? Wasn't there a little thing in the top right that said Kokesh for Congress or something to that effect?
I didn't look at the other videos.
No, it was on the same video. It was like a little bug in the top right.
Yeah, but that's just the related videos. That's how they do it now.
Okay.
You didn't know that?
It looked like it was in the original signal, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's the same as the ones over on the right. Sometimes it's different ones, but it's the same idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. He ran for Congress a long time ago. I don't know if he still is, but I don't know. He's supposed to be an anarchist. I thought he's going to be the anarchy president. That's what I heard.
Where did you hear that?
From him. I mean, he said it somewhere. He said, I think he was joking, but there's been talk of that. But
yeah. I guess we can't rag on him too hard for that because you joke about being the anarchy guy who throws everybody
into
re-indoctrination camps.
I'm going to be
the anarchy tyrant.
Yeah. No, I'm not bashing on him about that, but I am. I think it was a really uninformed answer, and it perpetuated a lot of stereotypes. And you know, if you really want a clear vision of my problem with what people say about BDSM, whatever they're saying about it that I would disagree with, if you substitute the word gays for kinky people or whatever, if those people were saying the same stuff about gays, it would be equally uninformed and everyone would hang them. I mean, they wouldn't have a leg. They'd be gone as a liberty personality the next day. But they can say it about kink because it's like it's a lower percentage of the population that really practices it as a lifestyle. So it's easy to dismiss.
Ah, I see. Okay. That's a good litmus test. I can buy that.
Yeah. So this DHS-funded video that basically tells people to curl up like a hedgehog in the event of a shooting, it's called Run, Hide, Fight, Surviving an Active Shooting Event. It's produced by some Houston-based fusion group. Do you see it?
Yeah, I did see that. See, it was made in Houston, so they did include fight. I was thinking if this were made in London, they would have just said run and hide and kept the fight out. Although in the fight portion of it, it's probably the shortest portion of the video. They say to improvise weapons.
Right.
None of the people have guns. They don't allude at all to trying to defend yourself with the same weapons that the attacker
might have.
Well,
did you see the scene where they show the guy walking into the office with the shotgun? When he opens the door, there's a really quick shot of a sign on the door that says, according to federal law, number blah, 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 you cannot bring concealed carry holders cannot bring a gun into this facility.
Yeah. And that's also how you know it's from Texas, is that's that 30.06 law that you can post on your door and even exclude concealed pistol licensees from entering your building.
Yeah. You know, I ran across this thing recently called WFED. It's the federal radio station. It's in DC and it's like a 30,000 watt. Oh, I have a correction from you. You were talking in the last cast about, I listened to it. You were talking in the last cast about the shooter in Denver and he said, and he had one of those 100-pound magazines.
That was, I misspoke.
I know.
Yeah.
It was 100 obviously. Round, but I just had to correct that because it was funny and I don't want people thinking we don't know what we're talking about. But
okay.
Fair enough. So WFED is the federal radio station in DC for federal employees, but it's open to everybody. I mean, it's a radio station on AM and it's 50,000 watts AM. And it's all about how great it is to work for the federal government, and it's for employees of the federal government.
Ugh. How great is it to pay your bills with all this stolen money? Yay, thumbs up.
Right. Yeah.
We'll have more fiends coming
we'll
up
have
in
calls.
Just a bit.
We'll have calls after this. We'll actually give out the number.
Okay.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing right,
So did you like my pod beef today? Did it sound wimpy or mighty there, caller? Lou?
I hate to say this, but I could really care less. I'm more concerned with my orgasms than your orgasms.
Well, you know, there's a thing in kink called, what is it? It's an acronym, like YKIMMK or something. It stands for Your Kink Is Not My Kink, which is basically like, I don't care what you do as long as it's consensual. It doesn't bug me. It's a common thing on like kink forums, you know, when somebody's like, that's gross. And someone else is like, hey, man, YMYMII, whatever it is. I'll look it up. Your kink, Y kink
Yo,
is not.
We got a caller?
Kink. Yeah, we're not on the air yet, but I'm recording. It's your YKINMK. Oh, I heard a great acronym the other day, Lou. It was the Northern Ireland term for for joyriding. And it was, God, let me look it up. It's really funny. It was an acronym based on the legal definition.
Yo, before you give out the acronym, let's welcome our audience back to Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vedati. We got Michael W. Dean, and we got a caller. Don't we, Michael?
It's Lou from Michigan.
Lou! What's up, Lou?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, Nima? Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt there, but...
That's all right.
You guys talking Northern, about kink stuff?
Well, yeah, then we got into joyriding. I guess when you joyride someone else's slave. No, I'm in Northern Ireland they call joyriding twocking, which is T-W-O-C-K, stands for taking without consent. That's the legal definition of it. So it's joyriding is twocking.
Twocking.
Yeah.
Coffee twock.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's joyriding is a different crime in most places than stealing. Because stealing, you're attempting to deprive the person permanently of the property. And joyriding, you're just being an asshole and nuisancing.
Ah,
you know,
yeah.
You're just twocking.
A delivery pizza driver that we all kind of made fun of. His name was Bill. He was a big fat redneck guy, and he was kind of lazy. So sometimes he would leave his keys in the ignition with the engine on when he would go to make a delivery. And one time, some college kids stole it. I don't know if they were college kids, but it was a college town. Some kids stole his car and drove it around all night.
You know, big fat redneck, you said. That reminds me of another thing I don't like about Adam Kokesh. He is a fattist. He really, really commonly, like, you know, not only like makes fun of fat cops or whatever, but like he uses the word fat like fat people are a different species. And, you know, I'm fat and I'm not crushed by it, but somebody could be. And it's just really bad form. You know, it's just if you're not a young, studly millionaire to be from your dad's inheritance who works out 27,000 times a day, you're not the right kind of libertarian. That's what comes off to me, you know. And we can't all be trust fund libertarians about to become millionaires who are born with the God-given genes to make you look really, you know, handsome and cut and then want to work out a lot, you know. And I guess people who work out a lot can say, well, anybody can work out a lot. And it's like, no, man, no, you can't. I used to do it all the time. I used to go to the gym and I look great. When you're my age, Adam, you're gonna be fat. It's a fact. It's true.
There's probably some residual statism left over that has yet to be purged.
The fat?
The idea of being a fattest, or as you were saying with his comment about, you know, but it's okay if you want to do this, that, or the other thing, just as long as, you know, you don't put a cork in the wrong person's ass.
Well, I've known a lot of people that work out really heavily and lived with a few of them, and not to like lump them all in together, but they all kind of have had traits in common with me. And one thing is, I mean, I think a lot of them are kind of like, you know, the male equivalent of like anorexic chicks or something. They have these body image problems where, you know, you have to like, it's kind of like the way, you know, like recovering drug addicts will look at drug addicts as like the devil. You know, those people are horrible, even though I used to be one.
Or ex-smokers.
Yeah. And
yeah.
The worst.
I don't know if Adam was ever fat, but people I've known who work out and stuff I've heard him say makes it sound like, you know, part of his way that he stays cut and makes himself do the 50,000 sit-ups every morning with a slave boy spotting for him is that looking at it like it's a disease. People are just people, man.
It's the way that you are. I mean, I suppose if I wanted to live, go out in the backyard and graze on some grass and exercise 10 hours a day, I'd probably be fit and trim also. But, I'd also have to be fighting against the fact that I'm 29 with several anniversaries behind that.
Yeah, and, if you had the trust fund money and you had, the Koch brothers, Cato money, and you didn't have to work for a living and you had all your time to just rant about the government and work out, you'd have more time to work out, you know?
Yeah, well, it's a priority thing, too. It's a priority thing. Like, when I was young and in college and looking for chicks, I was pretty cut and working out all the time.
Me too.
And then when I got married, it's like, I don't know. I'd rather just sit down and cook a big meal with my wife and eat it.
When I was Adam's age, I looked pretty good. I never looked as buff as him, but I was really cut. When I was a heroin addict, I used to do tons of sit-ups every day and like lift weights. I looked great until I looked really bad. But that was my diet.
I can multitask. I actually sit at work and bitch about the government while doing my job.
What is your job? Can you tell us?
No, I can't. But
it's working for the government. Is it working for the government?
Well, you do know that.
I do, dude. If you think you can tell me something and 6 weeks later I'll remember it, you don't know me that well as I thought you knew me. I'm serious. I'm totally serious.
Well, I guess my secret is safe.
Okay. All right. Are you in the anti-twalking division?
No, I am not.
Okay.
No, I am not. And I'm not really the Midwest scrutinizer, like I said a couple of times ago.
Twalking. But
I am a tax eater.
Okay. Well, we all are in some way or another.
Yeah. But anyway, what I called about, I got some really stupid cop news from here in Detroit.
Tell us about the stupid cops in Detroit.
A Detroit cop was dancing with a girl at a party or gave her a hug or something like that and managed to shoot her.
Ugh.
Now, do you know of any holsters that have a hole or some sort of way that you can actually reach the trigger?
No. Uh-huh. No.
I mean, that's sort of one of the purposes of a holster, isn't it?
And what would happen to me if that happened? I'd be in prison. Is he in prison?
Well, I can't. Not that I know of. I can't believe that they've been talking about it as accidental, because, I mean, realistically, I mean, if he's got a regular belt holster where the barrel faces down, they must have been doing some freaky-ass dancing.
Well, I don't know that it was intentional, and I don't think you're implying that, but I don't like the word accidental discharge. I really prefer the term negligent discharge, because accidental discharge kind of takes the responsibility off from somebody in the room, and whenever there is a discharge like that, it's generally negligent, not accidental. And I'm not really a word Nazi. Like, I'm not one of these people who's like, oh, you can't call it a gun. It's a rifle, and I say it's not a rifle. You don't have to do that unless you're in the military or there is artillery within view. Then you want to call it a rifle to separate it. And, I really hate the NRA thing that people give me sometimes of like, don't call it a weapon. It's a firearm. I'm like, dude, it's both. It is a weapon. Quit trying to sanitize it for the gun grabbers. But, I am clear about not using the word accidental discharge. I call it negligent discharge generally. And that sounds like a freaky dancy negligent discharge that would put a citizen in prison and nothing will happen to the cop.
I'm extremely skeptical on this.
Yeah, I guess I am too, because like you mentioned or implied, pretty much any holster is going to keep that from happening. I also wonder, did they mention what type of gun, what kind of gun was he carrying? I mean, was it a Glock?
It was department issued Glock 22, so okay. I mean, the odds of you just actually, touching the trigger, because it's got that little thing that comes off on the trigger.
Yeah, the thing in the middle on the trigger. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what's really, that's my carry gun is a Glock 22, and I still haven't figured out what that thing's for, other than that you can touch the trigger and test it subconsciously without actually firing a bullet. What is that for? Is that what it's for?
Unless that thing in the middle is depressed, the trigger won't pull back far enough to fire.
So you're saying, like, if you reached behind the trigger with two fingers around it and pulled it back without touching that
fire
thing?
It's like that thing on the 1911 in the hand grip where unless you're squeezing the hand grip,
I like that better. I really do. I had an SD, but it jammed sometimes, and an so XD, I got rid of it. Yep.
That's what I got, and I love that. I love the passive I'm safety envious. On I'm the envious. Back of the grip.
I love that. It's more of a safety than the Glock safety, really.
Well, Lou, where was the woman shot at? Maybe that can shed light on how accidental or how negligent this really was.
I don't know where the point of impact was on this.
I think it was on her side. I read this article.
The details that they gave us were extremely sketchy at best.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, it's like, all right, we're going to give you this little bit of news, and we're going to hope like hell it goes away. I haven't heard anything about it in probably a month or so. But, of course, the gun Nazis have been talking about, oh, well, this is horrible, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. And well, whenever the police do something wrong, they are usually really tight-lipped about it when it comes to talking to the press.
It's not police kill people. It's guns kill people.
Guns don't kill people. The government does. That was the name of one of our episodes. So, we're going to continue to talk here and record throughout the break and then come back for more callers. Damn, I said break. Ugh, Ian's going to beat me. And not in a good way. Not in the good way Ian beats me when we... I'm sorry. Okay.
So, hey, it's not a break.
Ian said not to say break. It's unprofessional.
It's not a break. It's a special extra that you get only because you're listening to the Freedom Feed.
Yeah. So I'm interested in this Glock safe, in this safety on the gun I carry every day that I don't know enough about. I don't see why that's a safety. In what situation would the back of the trigger be pulled without engaging that front part?
If it gets caught on your pants or a hook or something, and it just pulls the side of it, because it's if you pull either side of the trigger too. So if it's not being fully depressed, you know, like it gets caught on a belt buckle or a hook or something.
I can't find it. I have all my guns hidden because family's here. I'm looking for my Glock.
We all know that the true safety is leaving the damn thing in the holster and not fiddle farting around.
Your
with
brain
it.
Is the true safety.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, accidental discharge. That's when you don't clean your pipes before a hot date.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at my Glock. It's got a bullet chambered, and I just don't see how that thing's going to prevent anything. I don't see how the other part of the trigger would get pulled without that once it's chambered.
Well, that's part of the reason I went with the XD instead of the Glock is because I wanted that.
Yeah, it also has the loaded chamber indicator, which I really like.
Yeah, I do like that. The XD has that
the little nipple on the back of it. The XD only.
So you hid all your guns from your family? Any particular reason?
They know we have guns, but they don't want to look at them, and I'll respect that.
Okay. You're being a good host, I guess.
I'm being good. Well, wouldn't do it
when
for
I was your guest. You had like guns, like every square foot was a gun.
Yeah, when you were coming over, I'd put extra guns out.
Yeah. You'd go buy guns so that whenever I came, it looked like you had more.
Yeah, put them out as decorative, you know, kind of like doilies and shit for Nemo.
There you go. Huh. So, yeah, when I was... when I was reporting in Washington, there was some state troopers who got in a car wreck, but I don't think they were pursuing anybody. It was a high speed wreck, a single car. Like they ran into a tree, or maybe it was a power pole or something like that, and there was like skid marks all over the road. You could tell they were going like super fast, like they were just racing or having a good time. And the police said they'd investigate it. And, you know, I called them pretty much once a week. I called them every day that first week it happened. And then I called them once a week after that for about 4 or 5 months. And they could never give me an answer. They'd be like, oh, it's still being investigated. Or they'd be like, well, you're going to have to call this organization. You know, they're who investigated. And then I'd call that organization. They'd say, no, that's an internal investigation. The police are handling that. And you just never got a straight answer. Like, I never really found out what happened.
Worms.
Whenever they investigate themselves, they'll take pains to not let people know what happened.
Somebody just wrote me on Facebook and said they love me for bashing Adam.
Hey, Nima.
Yeah.
So you're trusting the government to investigate the government, and if the government finds something wrong, the government court will adjudicate whether there actually was something wrong or not.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it was a lesson learned. You can't really expect...
Speaking of Mark Stevens type what anyway, I'm not saying you're like Mark Stevens there, but it just reminded me of, we got a comment on the podcast today from some sovereign citizen guy. I actually marked it spam. It was just so ridiculous. I didn't have time to argue with it. It was this person's second comment, but their first comment made so much sense. And it was a comment about what we said recently, Neem, about we were wondering, like, why do cops like pursue things when they know they're wrong and they're going to look bad? You know, and the guy said it's because it keeps them from getting sued, because if they can get you to plea bargain down to anything, even like, you know, time served for the hour you were in the police station or something, they can't get sued as part of the plea bargain, which may
it won't
be true.
It won't be a wrongful arrest at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked a paralegal who works for a criminal attorney, and she said, I haven't heard of that. But, you know, they wouldn't necessarily hear about it. It might be something the cops do secretly.
Yeah, perhaps.
And a paralegal's not a lawyer, so.
Right. Well, also, if they're going to pursue something, they're just going to go hog wild. Why dabble in it when you could just fuck it all up?
Yeah. And it's like they don't have to pay for the lawyer money, you know. They have their own lawyers.
Yeah. Tragedy of the commons. You know, when you're not paying for the abuse, then there's more abuse to go around.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess to me it just goes to show that the police aren't there to serve you or serve the community. They're only out to serve themselves, which I'm not saying they're bad because of that, because all of us are. I mean, there's no such thing as true altruism. We're all out to serve our own interests. But cops get paid saying, and they lie about it, their whole shtick is we're here to serve you. And
you know, obviously not. We're back. We've been back for about a minute now. Yep.
Okay. Yep. No, we're back.
Oh, did you guys come back before I came back? I didn't know.
No. We just, okay. I heard the music. We're back. All right.
Will Grigg did a really good article on the history of policing. And the government cops, I believe the first government cops in America were New York City in like 1858. And if you watch the movie Gangs of New York, you will see that the cops are actually one of the gangs, which is based on, is quite historically accurate. Essentially, the cops, they're just enforcement agents for the politicians.
Right. It makes complete sense. I haven't read that Grigg article, but I know pretty much anything he writes is pretty much on the ball. So I'll have to check that out. Do you remember the name of the article by any chance?
I'll try to send it to you tonight when I get back. But okay. Yeah, very good one. As a matter of fact, it even goes into the sheriffs back in England. And oh God, I can't remember it well enough to come close to quoting it or accurately describing it.
I remember the line.
You know, enforcement arm. That's all it is.
I think the line was "Sheriff, don't like it. Rock the Casbah." You know that the word sheriff means Sharif or vice versa.
Shires Reef or Riff or something. Shires some Reefer. Like that. I don't know.
Shires Reefer, yeah. The new medical marijuana place in Keene. Not yet. You know, they shot down medical marijuana there. Didn't like the governor veto it after the state passed it?
Really? In New Hampshire? I thought they didn't already have medical marijuana there?
No.
Oh, wow.
It's just everyone's stoned walking around with guns on YouTube all the time. So you think that.
I suppose so.
Armed bureaucrats getting in the way of people and their health care.
I know. Well, we're going to take some other callers here, Lou. It's good always having you on. And
all right,
call back next week.
If you get a chance, before you guys get off the air, if you could talk about how to do a podcast, I sure appreciate it. I was hoping to talk to you on that one. But anyway, all right, you guys take care. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Sure, man.
Okay. Thanks. Peace. Worms.
Bye. You know, are we gonna do a live Wednesday cast this week, Nima? Because we did our test today and it worked.
Yeah, I'm game if you're game.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
I don't know is it going to be Wednesday?
Yeah, let's cast on Wednesday today or this week.
This week. All right. I don't know yet. You know, we'll announce on Facebook once I get up what time it's going to be, but we'll have a call in on Wednesday. We're going to try our live on our own streaming feed.
Yes. And it should work this time. We actually tested it today and it was A-okay.
And before we get into answering the how to do a podcast thing, I want to. Again, pimp the we would like people to donate money to us. Give us money. We like money. You can go on the site, click on the donate link, and give us money. The other thing is really helpful for us is if people go on iTunes and review and rate this cast and the Anarchy Gumbo cast.
Yes, definitely do that. So do you want to get into the how to do a podcast so you can ask for your own donations?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we have a great, I guess, resource on the website. It's the how we record. So that's pretty good for all the technical stuff. Yeah. But if
there's there's also several things linked off that on my mic from that article. If you go to the freedomfiends.com site, there's a thing called I actually shortened the name of it. It's no longer how we record. It says gear. I got rid of a few of the categories at the top of the pages. I got rid of our gift shop because nobody was buying anything because those on-demand shirts suck. So until we can get someone to silkscreen some shirts, and you know they'd make some money doing it, but we can't put up the money for it. Until then, we don't have the gift shop. I got rid of one other thing. I forget what. But if you go to gear is the link. And read that article. It has a lot of different, you know, like low, mid, and high budget methods for podcasting. A lot of tips and tricks. And then it's also got some links at the bottom to other articles I've written about microphone choice and microphone hot rodding and preamp hot rodding and things like that.
Right, right. Well, see, I feel like it's pretty easy, or at least it's explained how to figure out how to actually record, get the content from your mouth into a hard drive. But I had some friends in Washington who were – they were doing their own little podcast. It was something pretty informal, and they had – it all set up, you know, they're recording into, I think it was Audition, which is kind of like SoundForge.
Audacity?
Audacity, that's it.
Yeah. But it's free. It's SoundForge, but it's free, basically.
Ah, okay.
It's what most podcasters use. I just use SoundForge because I get it free because I'm a reviewer. It's like a $700 program. I'd be using Audacity or a cracked version of something if I didn't get this free.
And so once you do that, it's pretty straightforward. You just play around with it, you know, EQing and all that stuff. I guess the main thing is getting your voice into there. But here's a question that might be helpful to folks is once you have the content, what do you do with it? Because these friends, they didn't really understand how RSS feeds worked. They, I guess, became a member of some third-party site that was supposed to put iTunes.
That's what I was just going to say.
Right.
Don't go to one of these sites where, like, you know, the URL is on their domain. You know, because it's like you can't really grow that way, and people can always go away after you've put a lot of money and time into it. You know, pay $12 a month and go to HostGator where we host. Click on our affiliate link on our site so we get a few free month or two for you doing that. And set up with HostGator. They're really good. They're pretty much unlimited for $12 a month. If you get their basic business package, it's pretty much unlimited hosting. And they have good tech support. They won't do tech support on how to do a podcast, but they'll do anything to do with, you know, uploading files and getting them to show.
Right.
And I say get a WordPress blog. Use the plugin called PodPress. You know, make your MP3 files 44.1K stereo 16-bit MP3s, which you can do in Audacity, and tag them properly. That's really important. And have an RSS feed. There's so many people who say they have a podcast, but there's no RSS feed. And I'm like, a web page with a bunch of audio files is not a podcast. It has to have the feed so people can subscribe and it updates automatically.
Okay. Well, how do you do that, Michael? Explain to the listeners how you get an RSS feed. What are the steps? Like somebody who doesn't know anything about RSS feeds.
Yeah, you get a WordPress blog and you use the plugin called PodPress.
PodPress, okay.
I mean, I pretty much explained it. It's explained more in detail on our gear page. You know, I could read the whole thing, but it'd be easier to just read it because then it has links. And yeah, so we're going to have callers after this intermission.
Intermission. Worms.
Worms. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one.
Did you notice this in here twice? Sad.
Consider making a donation to the
in a row.
No, once each hour. Come and click on the spin coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal.
I'm looking for this. Because it was replacing a 60-second ad.
$3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation.
Welcome to the Central Scrutinizer.
The Freedom Fiends.
Central Scrutinizer.
So send us.
Scrutinizer. There it is.
On Free Talk Live, we talk about investing in gold. Scrutinize
these.
Scrutinize this.
You know, a guy holding a flintlock rifle, and it says... this was what a gun was when the Second Amendment was written. And basically trying to get at the point, well, you should all be able to have a flintlock and nothing more. But somebody, I forget his name, but some good anarchist or some good proponent of self-defense rights commented, well, you know, that was the biggest technology for self-defense at the time. So if you want to really follow it logically, then we should all be allowed to have drones with Hellfire missiles in our garage.
I heard a funnier, more original take on that one time. I've heard that argument a few times, but it was somebody on the Free State Project New Hampshire forum about 4 years ago said, you know, when people say that the founding fathers, when they wrote the Second Amendment, they didn't picture, you know, full auto assault weapons and et cetera. And the guy said, if the New York Times is willing to go back to being published by a hand-run press and delivered by horses, I'm willing to walk around with nothing but a brace of blunderbusses.
Blunderbusses are pretty awesome. I wish somebody would sell a modern blunderbuss.
Well, they do. I mean, you can get replicas that work. I mean, they're basically... Yeah. They're basically sawed off shotgun length, you know, tubes that have one shot, and they weren't made to fire shot. They were made to, like, you just scooped up whatever was ever on the ground, like broken glass or gravel or whatever, and then you just put some gunpowder in it, and it just sprayed this jagged jetsam at people.
Yeah.
It was the pirate gun. The pirate gun.
In the zombie version, the zombie apocalypse version of Red Dead Redemption, which was kind of like an online add-on you could download. I think you'd also buy it in the stores. There was a blunderbuss, and that was literally my favorite gun to use because you just blast zombies apart with it.
Would you fill it? I mean, would you just, you know, reach down the ground and put gravel in it?
You had to compile not fuel for it, but something to put in it. And so whenever you killed a zombie, you could pick up the zombie's bones, and you could use that to fill the blunderbuss with.
I was going to say, you know, if I'm murdered and you end up being the person responsible for my ashes and you're firing them out of a shotgun, feel free to mix them with some shot in a shot shell and fire them into the person that murdered me.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Fair enough.
We don't advocate murdering people who murder. That's the state's job. Yeah. You know, if you think about it, a blunderbuss would be a really efficient weapon money-wise. Like, basically, you'd buy the weapon and you'd buy, you know, a keg of black powder, and then you'd never have to buy any ammo again.
Yeah, that's true. Be a great when the Schumer hits the fan kind of weapon too.
Yep.
You wouldn't have to worry about making your own bullets or melting the lead or anything like that.
Yep. I mean, literally, I'm looking at my backyard. It's full of pea gravel, which is that gravel that's the size of a pea. I'm like, that would be a lot of blunderbuss loads full right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a backyard full of bullets.
There you go. Yeah. Also, is a nice way to illustrate Boston's point about how a gun is just a modern way of throwing a rock.
Literally.
Blunderbusses are
literally
awesome. Literally.
Yeah. Literally. I saw someone selling a blunderbuss on Pawn Stars today.
Oh yeah.
I like that show. Although I really like the really ghetto one in Detroit. What's it called?
I don't watch TV.
Yeah. The Pawn Stars one in Vegas is like kind of an upscale, you know, pawn shop. And it's like they get really nice antiques in there. And, you know, they gently haggle with people to buy them. And the one in Detroit, it's on 8 Mile Road. And it's, what's it called? It's called Hardcore Pawn. And it's like people screaming, like, my welfare check is late. You gotta buy this t-shirt for $150, you know. You got to buy this one woman's shoe for $50.
One woman's shoe.
Yeah. Not a pair, just one. Someone will want it.
Yeah. That's some TV host in Jordan threw at me.
I actually saw a junkie try to sell one woman's high-heeled shoe in a pawn shop.
I bet he didn't get very far with that.
Nope.
Yeah. Have you ever pawned anything in your heroin days?
That's a really sore subject that I am willing to talk about. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I got signed to Warner Brothers, I've pawned a lot of shit. I've pawned a lot of shit and gotten it back. But at the end of my addiction, all the shit I'd been pawning and pawning over and over and over for loans, I lost. And I lost a Steinberger bass guitar, you know, one of those graphite fretless weird looking box shaped things that are really expensive, which I bought on a whim. It's like I got signed to Warner Brothers and we got you know,
advance money.
Yeah, and it wasn't rock star advance money. It was like, you know, ghetto rich advance money. I mean, I think it worked out to, like, you know, after we paid off our manager and taxes and everything and money we'd borrowed to make our first record, I think we ended up with like $4,000 each and then $800 a month for a year. And that was our record deal. But I also bought a 64 Fender Precision, which I bought because it was the year I was born. And then I also bought a bass that matched my eye color. I bought these three the day we got signed. And I lost all of those to the pawn shop for like 1/8 of what I paid for them. It was sad. Yeah. Ugh.
All right, Morphine's live coming up.
Morphine.
Feels classier.
Because you gained a little weight now that you got married. Don't want to wear tight t-shirts anymore. You were skinny when I met you. DJ and I fattened you up before your wife fattened you up, though. You're not fat. But you're just like, you're not emaciated you were when I met you.
I've got like the definition of a beer belly. Like my waist is literally the same size. From my chest up, it's the same size. My shoulders are still muscly. It's just I've got this gut. It doesn't hang over my belly. Like I don't have Dunlap disease, but I do have
what?
A beer
Dunlap?
Belly. Dunlap. Like what's your belly that? Dunlapped over your belly.
Okay. Yeah. So we want to talk briefly in this last segment here about why we're calling this episode The Longer Pot's Illegal, The More Anarchist There Will Be. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm supposing it's the concept that the more tyranny there is, especially tyranny that affects a lot of people, the more people recognize and realize that the state is, in essence, violence and BS. And I think pot is a really good way of explaining that to people, or having people come to that realization. Because, you know, in school, DARE programs, all that, the government tells you, you know, pot's a gateway drug, and if you buy pot, you're going to become a heroin addict within 3 months, or whatever the case is, whatever kind of BS they fill you with. And then you try pot, and it's like, wow.
Took me like 10 years.
Just feel laid back.
Took me like 10 years of first joint to sticking a needle in my arm.
Yeah.
I don't think they're related, and we've talked about that. I don't buy the gateway drug theory. I really don't.
I kind of buy it in some sense, but I don't buy it that it's a good enough reason. Well, obviously, no reason's good enough for a state to dictate what you put in your body. But I think there's something to it. Like, when I get drunk, sometimes I feel like, you know, it'd be good right now, a fat blunt. You know, and so I can see the idea that if you're inebriated in some way, you lose your inhibitions, so you're more likely to want to ingest other substances, especially if they're offered. I can definitely see that point. But so what, I guess, is the point. Who cares?
Do you get high on TCP? Do you get high on TCPIP with the Freedom Fiends?
I do all
That'd
the time.
That'd be a good slogan. Get high on TCPIP with the Freedom Fiends.
Here's one thing that struck me when I was at the Texas coast, right? There's bars everywhere, right? And it's a thing where everybody goes and gets drunk, but a lot of them are old retirees in RVs, and they've got like flags up, like Jimmy Buffett flags or whatever, that say it's always 5 o'clock somewhere. And a lot of the culture there is about, you know, being on the beach,
Margaritaville,
sipping your pina colada, Margaritaville, getting wasted, partying it up,
wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
But a lot of them have like American flags and, you know, if you don't love it, get out and all this kind of thing. And freedom ain't free. It's like the same kind of mentality. And I kind of feel like, so getting intoxicated, you have no problem with, right? I mean, these kind of people, they don't see any problem with just getting wasted on alcohol. I don't see how that doesn't carry over into other drugs, especially ones like we went to bars with some of my wife's family, and it costs so much more to get drunk on alcohol. It's so much more unhealthy. It takes a long time, you know, especially if you have a tolerance. Like, we went through, I don't know, 20 pitchers of beer in a night.
I'll bet a lot of parrot heads smoke weed, though, too.
That's true.
Doesn't the like, Florida Key that Jimmy Buffett lives on, didn't they, like, secede at one point for a day?
I don't know.
I think
sure
they did,
so.
Man. The Conch Republic.
Why just for a day?
Oh, because like the U.S. military came in and the Navy challenged him or something.
Really? Yeah, we should research that and talk about
the
that
Conch
more
Republic?
On, a,
yeah.
on a Wednesday cast. That sounds like a really fun subject to get into.
Yeah.
I just feel like, for me personally, and I guess this is why freedom of ingestion is such a big thing for me and why I really thought of calling it that is, you know, I want to get intoxicated from time to time. That doesn't seem to be a right challenged by any state, in essence, because they don't challenge the right to drink beer.
Well, it's taxed and the money goes to the government. And
it is. I'm not saying it's perfect.
Pot isn't.
I'm not saying it's perfect.
I think there's also a lot of lobbying. I mean, I know that in California, the liquor people, the some liquor board or liquor lobby lobbied against legalizing marijuana.
Of course they did. Yeah. And we've talked about that before. I just feel like, how come everybody else can't make that leap? That, okay, so you accept that it's okay to get intoxicated. Why can't I choose my intoxicant? Why do I have to get nauseous and risk puking and waking up in the morning and being hungover? Why do I have to buy my intoxication with
that? You know,
that?
The first anti-drug legislation was in the first century AD, and it wasn't really law. It was church law, but they did send out, like, enforcers to beat people up for it and take their property. And it
what were they banning?
They were banning, like, you know, organic, you know, plant-based psychedelics that were used by some of the early Christians, and the budding church didn't like it because they didn't want you to be able to, like, reach God without going through them.
They wanted to protect their market, their monopoly.
Yep, that's what it's all about, man. It's all about.
I guess that's what it's always all about.
I have a quick request. We have a listener, or more than one listener, in Overland Park, Kansas, because I've been spying on the IP addresses, which is probably going to make this person stop listening forever. But we have like seven. We have a bunch of different listeners, but we have like six or seven that listen like every day for hours. One of them is in Overland Park, Kansas, but we get like 10 different IPs from Overland Park, Kansas, and it might be somebody who doesn't have a set IP, and every time they – maybe it's dial-up or something. I don't know, but I'm really curious if it's like one person who has different IPs every time they log in, or if there's like a group of people in Overland, Kansas, or maybe there's like a military base there and they're spying on us. I don't know. So if you're listening in Overland Park, Kansas, send us an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com and say hi if you want.
Yeah. If you want.
Everyone just stopped listening. Like, oh my God, they know where I am. It's pretty easy, man, because we're high on TCP/IP and we know how it works. We're behind the scenes. We're through the looking glass, people.
Well, I mean, it's demographics things. It's website research and figuring out where we have strongholds, things like that.
Hi, Fuzzy. Did you hear Fuzzy go...
I sure did.
Fuzzy's on my desk, like being really squinty. I think he knows people are coming over. He's going to go hide in the basement again.
Yeah, yeah. You excited about your visiting your family?
Yes. Oh, Fuzzy, yes. Don't walk on that computer. You're going to turn off my transmission. Okay, he passed it without stepping on
bad.
The keys. You're the feline scrutinizer.
So I did come into contact with some other silly statism on my Texas coast trip. You basically have to take a ferry from, because Texas, the coast has all these barrier islands around it, and the real good beach is always on the barrier island.
Port Aransas.
So in between the barrier island and the coast, you know, there's a bay, and it's still the ocean, but it's not like wavy and pretty with lots of sand. You got to take a ferry from, I guess it's Rockport, I don't know, somewhere there, but you take a ferry to get to Port Aransas, and you don't need a freaking ferry. It is so close. It's like 3,000 yards, something like that. It's totally bridgeable. Like, there is a longer bridge than the ferry distance right before it. And I was talking to people, and there apparently is controversy in the city about building a bridge or not. And those against building the bridge sort of bring up the fact that the ferry system creates jobs and helps the tourism industry. And first of all, if something isn't feasible, paying people to do it anyway is not creating a job.
It's breaking windows.
It's misallocating resources. It doesn't help anybody. Okay, so fine. It helps the people who feed off of it, but that doesn't help society in general. It's not like you're doing some kind of social good for it. And the people who are there, like the people directing it, they are. I don't know if they're mean-spirited, but they're not the way you'd expect somebody on a tourist-oriented system to act. Like, they have a scowl on their face. They meanly tell you things. If you ask them a question, they're very hesitant to answer it. And if they do, they answer it reluctantly. They're like state workers. And it's very annoying. And if you do need that so bad, if it so much helps the tourism in the area, then why not build a bridge anyway and have a private company take care of that? And if it's not supportable by a private company, it doesn't need to be done anyway.
That's a hard argument to make with a lot of people. I mean, I was talking to a small government Republican yesterday, and you know, he was like, well, what we need to do is like make the schools blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, why don't we get rid of the schools? There's this thing called Khan Academy. And he couldn't wrap his head around it because schools are there.
Because they're already there, right.
Yeah.
Right. Like the old ladies in the bread line in the Soviet Union wondering how on earth do the Americans get bread? There's no bread lines.
Did you just come up with that? That's pretty good.
No, that's been talked about before. We've talked about it before. Not as distinctly.
Morphine's this Wednesday live show. We'll let you know when on Facebook.
Peace.
Boy, that was plosive.
What is liberty?
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.